All right. Thank you very much tonight for logging on, live streaming our Wednesday night prayer and Bible hour. For sure, very, very happy to have you come and be a part of the service. We are praying for you. We're looking forward to ministering to you tonight. John and Ashley have some songs they're going to play and sing, and hopefully you'll sing along right there in your home. And then I have our Bible study all set, ready to go. I do have a couple prayer requests, three prayer requests for the end of our service, and of course some others. These are just ones that have been called in. But let's start off with a word of prayer before we turn it over to Brother John and Ashley for the music part of the service. Father in heaven, we come before you, Lord, and we do thank you that we can continue to worship. We can continue to look into your word, and as a church, gather together in prayer and knowing that one another are connected. Lord, I do thank you for our church family that continues to reach out one to another. I ask that you continue to be with them. And I do pray, Lord, that you would please protect our church family, our community, our nation. Lord, we're asking you to bring to a close this COVID-19 situation around the world, that there would be a cure found for this. And Lord, hopefully we would see this thing die, just go by the wayside. We can only bring that before you, for you are God Almighty. We believe you are the great physician, and we rest in that truth. So we pray for your hand to be upon it. Please be with the message this evening, the music, our prayer requests, that in every way they might honor you. In Christ's name I pray, amen.
Well, let's continue this evening by lifting up our voices and singing Lift High the Name of Jesus, and then Worthy of Worship.
Reach, and we cried out to
That was great. We really appreciate the music. It just adds so much to being able to come together. And certainly at home, Lord willing, you are able to sing one with another. You know, I love the fact that the Bible doesn't tell us that we have to make a beautiful noise unto Him, just a joyful noise. So you can do that right at home, on your couches, your chairs, wherever it is that you're worshiping. I was talking to somebody the other day. They said Sunday morning they live streamed in their bed with a cup of coffee, all bundled up, live stream watching church. Man, you can't get any more comfortable than that, can you?
They can sing in their bed, too.
Yes, they can sing. They can sing all bundled up, too. Absolutely. We do just want to remind you, kind of along with announcements, that we are practicing all the social distancing things that we have been asked to do as a church. In fact, if you come and drive up to the church, the doors are locked on the church building because we have the essential employees, children down in the preschool. So all you have to do is just text us or call us. Let us know you're going to come if you need to come up to the office. Other than that, or if you need to do the food shelf, because remember, we've started the food shelf down below for folks, you know, in our church, your friends. If you know somebody who's been unemployed, they haven't gotten a check yet, they're worried about groceries, we've got some groceries to help them out with that. But again, you can't just walk into the building because of the whole social distancing thing. So what we're doing is just having you call or text. John will come right down. He'll come out, bring you a list to check off the things you want, and then he'll bag it up, bring it out to your car. And so other than that, I mean, we don't really have a lot of announcements. We're trying to go ahead and have each service work well. We understand that the live streaming's working a little bit better. The company that we work through has kind of been able to work out some of the bugs of the huge influx of churches that started live streaming. And then we also have started live streaming over Facebook, something that we hadn't been doing in the past, but we are doing it now. So you might be watching us on Facebook. You might be watching us on our webpage. And then also we set up a church app as well. And I know we've sent out information about that. In fact, last Sunday, we found that the church app, if you just go through that church app, it had the clearest picture of any for the live stream services. So I'd encourage you to download that app. What is it, John? It's My Church by Sermon Audio. My Church by Sermon Audio. You go into there, and then you find our church app and download it into your phone. It's just amazing how illiterate we have become, some of us older folks. Technology is changing so fast. It's just incredible how much it's changed. But we are glad that you are with us, that you are live streaming with us, that you're worshiping with us. I've talked to a number of people either through phone calls or texts, emails, or at the grocery store. I'll see people and they'll tell me, live stream the services, Pastor. And they were great. They ministered to their soul. And that's our goal. That is what we're striving to do. So we're going to turn it back over to John and Ashley. I know that they have a couple more songs for us. There shall be showers of blessing, and my heart is filled. So gather everybody around, sing along with them, and I'm going to turn it over to them.
All right. Well, thank you, Pastor. Let us lift up our voices as we sing, There Shall Be Showers of Blessings.
There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessings, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessings.
Bibles, if you would please, to Malachi chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 12, 13, and 14. Malachi chapter 1, verses 12, 13, and 14. As we look at this text, I want to remind you it's the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi, last book of the Old Testament. And then there's what's called the 400 years of silence between Malachi and Matthew, 400 years without any inspiration for the penning of God's word. And then, of course, we come to the life of Christ and all the ministry of Christ going into the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, and then into the letters and epistles of the Apostles, all the way to the book of Revelation, which of course is the closing out of all the ages. So I'm taking you tonight to the last book of the Old Testament. And here we find God talking to the nation of Israel, the children of Abraham. And he's talking to them about their disregard towards him. Now, there's a reason why I'm choosing this subject at the middle of this time when we're dealing with this COVID-19, the coronavirus. Several people have asked me, well, Lord, Pastor, do you think the Lord is trying to get our attention? Something along that line. And in my response to that is, I believe the Lord is always trying to get our attention. But there is no doubt in my mind that for sure we as a people, and I don't mean just people of Vermont, I don't even mean just the people of the United States, I mean the people of God's creation all around the world, have really in many ways treated the Lord with disdain. They've been disrespectful and dishonoring towards him. They have mocked him, scoffed him, ridiculed him, and demeaned him in so many ways. And do I think that that offends God? I know that offends God. Do I think that tests his patience towards humankind? Absolutely, I believe that tests his patience. So could God have prevented this? He most certainly could have. He's all powerful. Could he have made it much, much worse than it is? Absolutely. He is all powerful. Does he want to get our attention? Yes. And why? Well, I want to show you in Malachi chapter 1, verses 12 down through 14, what he had to say to the nation of Israel back then and why it's still applicable today. Listen to what he has to say in Malachi chapter 1, verses 12 down through 14. But ye have profaned it, in that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat is contemptible. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it! And ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick, thus ye brought as an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth, and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. When we look in this text, we find that the Lord is responding to his people who have treated him with disrespect and disdain. I believe that we as a country, you and I who live in America, a country that truly was founded upon biblical principles, it's, you know, you may go to school today and you might have teachers who try to hide the heritage of the U.S. Well, the reality is the U.S. was founded by people who were developing and expanding their practice of their faith. They were bringing it to the new world. Yes, of course, they came also to seek fortune, but you find a deep religious core in the founding of the United States, and even in its laws and government in the early years, and even as it expanded into the Constitution of the U.S. in 1776. So when somebody tries to tell you, no, no, America was not founded upon godly principles, they just don't read true history. They might read revised history, but true history is this country was started by people who truly desire to have a nation, one nation, under God. So that's where it all began. But where is it today? Today, it is largely right where these verses talk about. And so I want you with me as Christians, you and I as believers, and if you're watching this live stream tonight and you've never received Christ into your heart, I want you to understand that God does note how we regard him. I mentioned the other day that I was looking at the stats of Vermont, and in the statistics for Vermont, it says how that 24% of the people don't believe in anything. Well, you know, the irony of that is if you believe in nothing, you'll fall for anything, even everything. You and I, when we come to the Word of God, we have in our hand the message of the Lord for all of us to hear. Now, whether you accept it or not is up to you. It's kind of like this whole coronavirus thing. You can go ahead and make believe it's not here, and you can disregard it. You can ignore it, but it doesn't make it go away. And the same thing with God. You can treat him like he is not. You can even vocalize that, but it doesn't remove the fact that he is. So when we look at this text, I want you to note with me that he's talking about a people who, in his words, have snuffed at him. And what that means is to show disdain towards him. So again, look with me at verse 12, if you would, because I want you to see with me that these folks, just as the people today, these folks have snuffed at the provision of God, the way he has provided for us. Listen to what he says in verse 12. But ye have profaned it, and that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. Now, the context of this text is about the priests and them doing the work of the ministry at the temple. And all the offerings and sacrifices that were brought to the temple as they were offered before the Lord, they were also the provision for the priests at that time. The flour offerings, the oil offerings, the meat offerings, all of that, a percentage of it went to the care of the priesthood. And so the priesthood are scoffing at that offering, at that food that's brought. They're saying it's polluted. Its fruit thereof is not worthy. The meat is contemptible. They're complaining about how that their provision has been provided by this, and they're treating it as if it's invaluable or ungratefully. Well, I don't think it's a far stretch for us to understand that even today in the United States, we are a nation blessed by God, tremendously blessed by God, and yet many people snuff at God's provision. It's not good enough. It's not enough. They don't respect that he's the one who has provided for us and enabled us as a nation, as a people, even as an individual. So they, just like the Israelites at that time, just like the priests of that time, they have gone ahead and snuffed at the provision of the Lord. They hold this provision in contempt. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, we find the apostle Paul writing to the church in Galatia. And he says to them in chapter 1, verse 6, he says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. So here's the apostle writing to the church in Galatia. He says, I stand in amazement that you so soon walk away from God's provision in your life. And really, the United States of America and the world, they have treated God as if he has not provided. And yet here we are, so blessed. We have shown this disdain towards him. We have snuffed at his provision. When we look from coast to coast and we look across our nation, we see a bountifully blessed nation. I just saw a news thing the other day about how the oil production in the United States, we now are an exporter of oil. Because we have come up with fracking and the inventing of ways to extract oil, and now we have excess liquid gas and oil that comes out of the ground. It's incredible how we are blessed. Our wheat fields, our corn fields, we are the breadbasket of the world. And yet people snuff at, they treat with disdain God's provision in their life. Is it any wonder that things come that God uses to try to get our attention to look towards him? Is it any wonder that he doesn't stop it rapidly, but he lets it happen so that we could step back, slow down, and recognize God is the giver of life and all the provision therein? He's certainly trying to get the attention of the nation of Israel in this chapter. He's trying to get the attention of the priests of Judaism at this time. And for you and I, it's just as applicable today. But I want you to go down to verse 13 with me, because I want you to see, not only did they snuff or treat with disdain the provision of God, we see that they snuff and treat with disdain the worship of God. Look at what he says in verse 13. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it. And ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye brought that which was torn, and the lame and the sick, thus ye brought as an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? It's interesting when you look at this text, he points out to them that not only do they hold in disdain his provision in their life, but also just the act of coming and worshiping God. They're saying to him, they're saying, wow, this is such a wearisome thing. And I will tell you, as a pastor, certainly pastoring in Vermont, it's not uncommon for there to be people who say, well, yeah, I just don't have time for that. Can you imagine if God took time off and decided, today I'm not going to give you the air you breathe. Today I'm not going to go ahead and make sure your heart is beating. Today I'm not going to make sure that your children are able to get up and walk and play. He's just going to take the day off. No, the Lord watches over all of us every single day of our lives. He never grows weary. He never rests. He is almighty, all-powerful, all-present God. When you look in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 22, it says, "But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me." So the Lord says to Jacob and Israel, you've not been calling upon me. You have grown weary of me, just like this text in Malachi says. And I reach out to you tonight and I say to you, as we do this Bible study, have you grown weary of the God who gives you your very breath? Is it not time for you yourself to turn back and say, you know what, I need to honor the Lord, the Creator God of all that is. We treat him as if he's boring. We somehow try to turn worship into entertainment when actually it's supposed to be about him and not us. So when we look at this text, we see that the Lord, he's displeased with the way that they are treating him in regards to worship. And it's interesting when you look at this, because he's very detailed about this. He says, ye said also. He's very pointed. He says, you. He points right at us. He says, you. You're the one who says that it's wearisome to know and worship God. But then look what he goes on to say in verse 13. He says, ye said also, behold what wearisome, how wearisome it is. So in other words, not only are they themselves deciding that it's too wearisome for them, they're telling others, hey, look how wearisome it is to worship and know God. How sad it is. In the years I've pastored, and it's been a long time now, graduated college in 1979, went right into the ministry, and in one form or another, either as an associate pastor, an assistant pastor, or a senior pastor, I've been in the ministry ever since. And it grieves my heart sometimes when we minister to boys and girls who tell us, yeah, my mom and dad, they don't want me to go to church. My mom and dad say, we don't have time for this. We this, we that. They make excuses why mom and dad says it's wearisome to worship the Lord. You and I have a responsibility in the things that we teach others concerning the God who has provided for us all that we know, all that we enjoy, all that we embrace. He says to them, not only have you, but you've said to others, look, behold, look how wearisome it is. When we stand before the Lord, we will give an account. The scriptures teach us the books will be opened. Our life's book will be opened. So when people ask me, Pastor, do you think that this is this something that's happening because God is trying to get our attention? Oh, absolutely. I think that the Lord could stop anything. We could live in a rose garden with no thorns if that's what the Lord so decided he wanted to do. But life is full of thorns because of the sin nature that has come upon the earth. He uses all of these things to try to woo us and beckon us that we might turn back to him, draw near to him, honor him with our hearts and our lives. As you look down through that verse 13, look with me. He says, you've said this. You've asked others to behold and to look, and you've proclaimed that to know me and to worship me is a wearisome thing. He says, ye have snuffed at it. And I already told you that word snuffed simply means to treat with disdain, to treat as if it's worthless, it's ridiculous. I find that all to be so interesting. As a pastor for many years and ministering to many people, it's an interesting thing that there is a whole segment of society that ridicules and demeans knowing and loving God. But they'll lift up and exalt every crazy thing under the sun. Sandra Jo, we watched this thing on Sunday nights after church. We'll come home and they have this American Idol show where these kids sing, people sing. And so last Sunday night they had this young singer, and she's a Christian singer. And she decided in her competition she would sing a strong Christian song. So after she got singing, she went, she met with the judges, and the judges said to her, "Oh, we love you so much, you have such a magnificent voice, etc., etc. But the song you chose was not inclusive." And so they removed her from the rest of the competition. And I looked at Sandra Jo, and I said to her, "Isn't that interesting? This girl's song about her faith is not inclusive enough. But the country western guy, he can get up and sing about getting drunk and all that, but that's plenty inclusive, never mind the people who don't drink. Or the other folks who are, you know, confused about all kinds of different things in their life, they can sing about how they feel about that and how that touches their life, but it doesn't matter, that excludes everybody else who isn't living that experience. But because this girl sang her faith wasn't inclusive enough." You see, that says so much about the world we live in today. When we look in this text, you find that God says the society and the world we live in, it snuffs at God. Yeah, I think he does want to get our attention. He would like to see us turn back to him as a nation and become one nation under God again. Oh, and of course the secularists mock that. And maybe tonight as you watch this live stream, maybe you mock it too. But I will tell you, absolutely, God takes it personally. He's telling us so even here. As you look at the last part of verse 13 and you move into verse 14, you find that it says that they also snuffed towards their offerings to God. Listen to what he says here. He says, "You've brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick, thus ye brought as an offering." He's referencing the fact that the nation of Israel were called to bring offerings unto him that were spotless. They were supposed to bring male lambs that were spotless sacrifices to God. And he says, "But instead, what you've done is you've gone through your flock and you have found that which is lame, that which is torn." In fact, actually, in the Old Testament, they themselves were not supposed to eat that which was torn or rendered by wild beasts. They were supposed to discard it. They were not supposed to eat it. So here they're bringing it to God as an offering. And also, it's supposed to be the provision for the priests of that time. They're violating even the very law of God and expecting God to accept it as an offering. As we look at this text, it says, "And the lame and the sick, they brought those lambs." Those were the offerings they brought to God. Always the second, third, and fourth best. When we do worship the Lord, do we come to him and bring the sincerity of our hearts, the best of our soul? Do we come as a true cheerleader? Do we come as a genuine fan of God? I played sports when I was a kid, junior high, going into high school. And certainly I can remember how exciting it was. But I have to ask sometimes, do we get nearly as excited about the things of the Lord as we get excited about everything else? God says these folks brought to him, they came to him with inferior offerings. That which they brought him was insulting and offending to the Lord. As we come down to verse 14, I want you to see with me the last of the things that he talks about that they snuffed at him in regard to. Look with me at verse 14. He says, "But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth, and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing." He says, you had the things that were good. You had the things that were right. Those things that were vow offerings. But instead you brought to me that which is corrupt. But listen to the last part of verse 14. He says, "For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen." You have to, excuse me, I got a little bit of a snuffle. We have all the heat shut off in our sanctuary, and it's cold in here. We're going to have to get a little warmer for when I preach. It's making my sinuses tickle on me. So we find here the last one, and that is that they snuff or hold in disdain the great king, God. That's what he says. He says, "Listen, I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathens." He says there are unbelievers who recognize the hand of power of God. And yet these believers have treated him with disdain. You and I, do we recognize that our God is a great God? Malachi chapter 1 verse 6, it says, "A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father," God says, "where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, unto me." God's saying, "Listen, I am the great king. I am the King of kings and Lord of lords. I am God Almighty, the creator." And he says, "Where is the honor?" Well, certainly we as a nation, the United States of America, so much from coast to coast, has gone ahead and treated God with such disdain. They have snuffed at him as King of Kings. They've dismissed him and ridiculed him. Would it be a surprise to us if he removes his hand of blessing and protection? Because I am telling you, we as a nation, we as the United States of America, we are incredibly blessed. We cannot afford to lose the hand of God watching over us. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 15 and 16 says, "In his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen." So when we look in this text, we find that God reminds us his time will come when he will be revealed as the everlasting King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the only potentate. It's interesting that the Bible says that there will come a time when every knee shall bow and every mouth shall confess that he is Lord. Folks, listen, in all sincerity, I genuinely mean this. We need to pray for our country to come back to the Lord, to come back to God, to seek again to honor him and exalt him and to live for him. Every time these kind of things happen in our country, 9/11 is a great example, you find people who really do step back and relook, re-examine their faith. What better time for you to examine, to really think about and to consider your faith than right now? You have more time to spend reading your Bible. You have unlimited access through the internet to read and study scripture. Today is the day. Use it to come back and know him. Don't allow others scoffing, snuffing at God to influence you. You and I need to draw near to Him. Pray for your country. Pray for your leaders. Pray for the scientists who are doing all their noble work, all the biologists that are doing their noble work to try to save your life and my life. They are the true heroes of this whole thing. They're the guys who are hitting the home runs. They're the guys that are getting the touchdown. Because when they find the right medication, the right drug, the right concoction, let's not soon forget them. Let's pray for them. Let's remember they're working for us behind the scenes. As we end the Bible time, we're going to do so in prayer, but then we're going to have a prayer time where we're going to talk about our prayer requests. But let's close this Bible time right now. Lord, we do thank you so much that you love us, that you provide for us. We thank you that you are the God who calls us to worship, for you desire to walk with us and know us and abide within us. You've provided Christ on the cross for us that we might have eternal life. Thank you, Lord. Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege of being able to worship and give offerings unto you, worthy offerings. And Lord, we thank you that you are the King. You are the King of Kings, the only potentate. Help us to lift up and exalt you, for you are worthy. Please forgive us as a nation, as a people. Forgive our leaders who mock and ridicule you. Turn their hearts and turn their minds, turn their eyes back to you. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. We do have a few prayer requests tonight for our prayer list because this is our Wednesday night prayer Bible study. And what we normally do is we gather together, we share prayer requests, we have the Bible study, then we take time to pray for those folks on the prayer list, and then we take it home with us. So tonight, I just want to mention several to you. There's Cindy Ulmer. She had hip surgery. She's Smokey and Suzanne's friend. She had hip surgery, and through the process, the medications and the different things they had to do for the block, for the pain, it caused intense ringing in her ears and headaches. So she has gone back for several procedures to try to end that. And they're getting ready to admit her in the hospital, and they're going to do a 24-hour medication procedure where this certain medication goes into her system to try to bring her back to where she was before without all the ringing and the headaches. So pray for Cindy Ulmer. Also, Nathaniel Huff, the other last week, he had gone ahead and been in that explosion at work. Burned his from his face all the way down to the front of his legs, his arms, his hands, his ears. He inhaled some of the explosion. Thank the Lord he didn't do a lot of damage to his lungs. He is home, but he's still in tremendous pain and dealing with all the burns and all of that. And his wife, Nathaniel. I mean, he's Nathaniel. His wife, Chantal. Pray for her as well. And for some of you, you don't know them, but you know, certainly you know Patty Fairbrother. That's Chantal's mom. And then you know Mr. and Mrs. Huff. That's Nathaniel's parents. So pray for Nathaniel and his family, if you would. And then the third one that has been called in and mentioned is Diane Lepore. Please be in prayer for her. She's been diagnosed with breast cancer. Now, I had sent out a one call now, and I mentioned that her husband, Bill, they weren't able to do her procedure. They were going to do a lumpectomy to take out the cancer, but they called it off because he had shown signs of the coronavirus. But it turns out he took the test. He doesn't have the corona. So now they are going to go ahead and continue with her procedures. So pray for Diane and Bill Lepore, Diane as she goes through this battle with cancer. I'm going to close us in a word of prayer, and I'm going to encourage you to pray for these prayer requests throughout the week. Let us know if there's anybody else you'd like to have added to this. I want to mention to you as we get ready to close, if your live streaming buffers and you're having problems by going through the website, what we're doing is we're doing the service a little ahead of time so that it's reserved, it's saved. Right down below, if you go down your screen, you go down to the recorded videos, not the audios, but the videos. Down below, this service is there. We post it a little bit before so that if your live stream's buffering, you're having a lot of problems, you can go down and you can watch it as pre-recorded. And it should come out much, much better. So let's have a word of prayer. Again, let me know if there's anything we can do for you. Call the office. We are diligently trying to minister to our church family the best that we can. Father in heaven, we come before you, Lord, and we thank you for your many blessings to us. And Lord, how repentant we are that oftentimes we treat you disrespectfully. And Lord, I ask that you forgive us of that. And we do pray for our nation. Our people need to return. It's on our money that this is one nation under God. It's in God we trust. I pray that you would help us to be a people who really reflect that. I do also lift up before you Cindy Ulmer as she gets ready to go in for this procedure. I pray that you would help the doctors have great wisdom and skill, that she would get back to her regular self. I also pray, Lord, that you'd be with Nathaniel Huff as he continues to heal. I ask that you'd touch his body. He's a faithful believer. His wife is a faithful believer. Their parents. I pray that you would bless him and touch him and raise him up from this soon, Lord. We also lift up before you Diane Lepore. Father, we are so grateful that through the years we've seen so many ladies who have battled this cancer come out of it victoriously. Lord, we thank you for the skill that you've given these doctors and all of these folks who fight this incessant disease of cancer. But most of all, we thank you, for you are God Almighty, and we put our faith and our trust in you, and we rest in you. And we lift up Diane before you tonight, that you would touch her body, that you would raise her up from this battle with cancer, that she might also experience the victory that is only in you. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.